It's Monday, the 7th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to Lou Amundson, Cameron Bairstow, and Kevin Serafin. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Hawks 20. My name is Josh Lloyd. If you want to be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, just like Hawks did, and you get to be a sponsor for the day. Also, you can be a sponsor just like Moneyball. So if you own a company and you want to get your name out there, like Moneyball is doing, contact me in other ways, but Moneyball is Australia's only daily fantasy sports site and New Zealand's. So if you are living down under, make sure you're checking out Moneyball and joining in all the NBA, DFS action, NFL as well, and soccer. Lots of stuff over on Moneyball. Make sure you're joining in all the tournaments, all the head-to-heads, double ups, all the contests they have running over there. Okay, as I mentioned before, my name is Josh Lloyd. And you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Going to be talking about the games from Sunday. Going to then be going on to a preview of Monday's action. So why waste any time?
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. Yes, for those of you who don't know that song is Iron Man. And the monstrous line of the night is Wes Matthews of the Dallas Mavericks, a guy who's been struggling this season a lot, and that's understandable, coming back from Achilles tendon surgery. Not an easy thing to come back from, but Matthews put in not only a game where he's back to being Wes Matthews. This was a career-best performance from Matthews here, 36 points. He went 10 of 17 from 3, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. This comes on the back of Matthews saying, I think it was Friday, that basically, to paraphrase, he said, I suck. And he did suck. He was really bad. The minutes are definitely on the way up. And not only on the way up there, there's no minutes restriction for Wes Matthews anymore. He doesn't sit back-to-backs. He's averaging 38 over the last week. The numbers are definitely coming back up. He's at the start of the season, he was tough to own him, but he has to be owned now. He's ranked inside the top 70 for the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 17.5 and 2.5 across his last four games, including 1.5 steals and 4 three-pointers, which is obviously buoyed by today. And the thing that was hard for him to get going was his field goal percentage. Now, he's still at only 36% on the season, which is down from 45 last year. It's going to be hard for him to get that percentage back up, but the other numbers are starting to come good now. I don't think that he's going to retain this top 70 value necessarily, and I don't think he'll become a top 50 guy like he was last year. But for now, we have to make sure we're owning him in all 12-team leagues, and that's not something that we could have said 2 weeks ago. He was someone that you didn't want to be holding on to then, because he was just playing minutes and doing basically nothing, and a lot of that was to do with the poor shooting. Now, he had a good night here. Maybe it spurs him on. Maybe it's a little bit fluky. I'm sure there's a lot of fluke in terms of hitting 10 threes, something he's never done before, and we haven't had one player do that this season. For as good as Steph Curry's been, he hasn't even hit 10 threes in a game this year. So Matthews is still a bit of a work in progress, but he is hitting 2.5 threes a game still. Despite all his struggles, he's still at 2.5 threes, which is valuable. It's just the other numbers are sort of holding you back, especially that field goal percentage. The points are pretty low. He's starting to turn a corner, though. We can't officially declare him back, even though I said, you know, that he was at the start of the show. I said that he was, you know, he was back and, you know, better than ever. He's not. He's not fully back, but it's a good way to getting there. And for now, you make sure that he's owned in every league that you're playing in. And see, look, he could be very bad in the next game. There's a big chance of that. He could be very bad. But once you see that someone's got that ability to sort of come back and to provide those numbers, you know that, okay, it's starting to turn around for him now. So Wes Matthews obviously is a guy, and he's probably not available in your leagues anyway, but if he is, and someone actually just tweeted me before saying that he is available in their 12-man points league, you go and grab him now, and then you see what happens over the next few weeks. But could be a good sign of things to come for Wes Matthews owners and for Dallas Mavericks fans. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Courtney Lee. Yes, Courtney Lee, that enigma of a player of the Memphis Grizzlies. He played 28 minutes here, 18 points, 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 6 assists and a block, and really efficient numbers. And that's something that he is known for. He's giving you efficient shooting. Hasn't quite been at that level this year, only 41% from the field. But the last 2 weeks, he's at 48%. The numbers are definitely creeping back up. We just need him to get close to 30 minutes. And that's the struggle for Courtney Lee to be owned. At this point, with so many other wings in Memphis, we don't want to be owning him because Matt Barnes is there, Tony Allen's there, Jeff Green's there. All these guys are getting minutes as well, and they all deserve 25-plus minutes. So Lee's going to get 25 on some nights. He's going to get 30. He's going to get 18. And the overall sum of his production probably means that 12-team leagues don't need to pay attention. But he's a guy that if he can get 30 to 31, he becomes a back-end 12-team league guy. It's going to require an injury, though, to one of these wing players for him to really come into consideration, or just a red-hot streak of form, which it doesn't appear that he's got that in him as a player. At this point, he sort of is who he is, I think is probably the best way of describing who Courtney Lee is at this point in his career. The young gun of the night goes to D'Angelo Russell. Now, he wasn't great, but there was no other rookies or second-year players who really played any better than him here. He had 12 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals, and really efficient. 5 of 9 shooting, hit both of his free throws as well. He hasn't been great this year, but he's been playing better. The last month, he's ranked inside the top 90. He's at 11.5, 5 and 3. And 11.5 is not good, but 5 and 3 you're happy with. 1.3 threes, 1.3 steals. You're happy with that. And the field goal percentage is higher than we thought it would be, that 43% over that time and 79% from the line. So his efficiency has been a lot better than we anticipated with him. There was a stage where the first couple of weeks it was really tough to own him, but he's getting the minutes increased a little bit more now. We'd still like to see more of them. But it is, he only played 22 in this game, but they got destroyed, the Lakers, by the Pistons. You still want him to get more minutes, and I'm going to talk about the Lakers a little bit later on. But D'Angelo Russell obviously has to be owned. He's one of the better rebounding point guards already in the NBA, averaging over 5 a game. There's a few that do it now. Westbrook, obviously, Rondo, they come to mind. But Russell is one of the better rebounding point guards in the NBA already. The dud of the night is going to his teammate, Jordan Clarkson, who played 30 minutes, 7 points, 3 rebounds, an assist and a steal on some pretty poor 3 of 11 shooting. Now, one of his strengths is his good shooting. He's at 47% from the field this season. So you chalk that up to a bit of an anomaly. He's at, he's a 15.5 point guy, 3.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.5 threes, 1 steal. So really good numbers. A clear top 100 player at the moment. Again, like Russell, you just want these guys to be let loose and played 34 minutes a night and just see what happens with this team. Doesn't feel like it's ever going to happen on a consistent basis because of our mate Byron Scott in charge. But, maybe there's some hope that some common sense occurs, or an injury or something happens to allow these guys to actually start flourishing. But the dud of the night is Jordan Clarkson. You don't do anything with that. You don't move on from him. You don't drop him or anything like that. It's a bad game. Whatever. We deal with it and we move forward. But he has been pretty good this year. Probably a little bit better than what I initially anticipated this season, because I just didn't know. We'll have to sort of hedge our bets as to how the minutes are going to go with Clarkson, with Bryant, with Williams, with Young, and with Russell. So definitely outperforming that expectation. And is it fair to say that he's the best player on this team? I think that's a pretty fair call at this point in everybody's respective careers on the Lakers. Didn't mention it before, but the daily fantasy value play of the day was Wes Matthews as well. 4,800 for him, and he put up a 53.7 performance on FanDuel. So pretty clear that he is the value play of the day. Now, let's look at these games in a touch more detail, see what we can extrapolate from all this information that we're going to bring up on the screen now if you are watching along on YouTube. And if you do normally watch on YouTube, and not necessarily live, but something's been happening the last couple of days. YouTube is not processing the videos, and they're not appearing in my channel. So if you normally watch on YouTube, yes, the videos have been there. And if you normally watch on YouTube, you're probably not getting this message. But go ahead and have a look. You can find the links on the Facebook page, on the Twitter account, to go and look at these videos, but they're not appearing on the main channel page. Don't know what the hell YouTube's doing. There's been processing my videos for 48 hours and not actually putting them up. So a little bit pissed about what's happening there, but hopefully it gets back pretty soon and heads back into the channel feed, which you should see on the main YouTube page. All right, let's look at these games now. There were five games on a Sunday. The first one was Phoenix and Memphis, and a lot to really sort of dig into here. Markieff Morris was a healthy scratch in this game. He has been brutal at times. We saw a report come out after the games from Mark Stein of ESPN that the Rockets are looking to acquire Markieff Morris in a trade, which could be really interesting. I would imagine that would involve Terrence Jones going the other way, because I've said it a million times, the Rockets hate Terrence Jones. They don't like him. They don't think he's good. They don't want him around. And I could, adding Markieff Morris to already a crowded area with Donatas Montiunas there is fine, but I think getting Markieff Morris ahead of Terrence Jones is a big upgrade. So if you own these guys like Jones, like Morris, you're just holding to see what's going on, because we don't know what's happening with Morris in Phoenix at the moment. We have no idea, because I said he didn't play at all here. And John Lua, yes, John Lua played 41 minutes. That's odd, isn't it? He's not that good. He was productive. 10 and 11 with a 3 and 3 blocks on 3 of 11 shooting. And he's been pretty solid. Is he someone you pick up in a 12-team league? Yeah, maybe. But it's really volatile. We don't know how this is going to play out. We just don't know what's going to happen. Whether Morris comes back in and plays 30 minutes next game and Lua goes back to 20 minutes. So you can add him, but don't spend a big chunk of budget, I wouldn't have thought, and don't drop someone with really great value, because we just don't know what's going to play out. There's always Mirza Teletovic there as well, who's at 14 and 6 in this game with 3 threes. And then Alex Len, I think we've got a pattern here with Alex Len, and it will probably hold true for when Tyson Chandler comes back as well, is when the Suns go up against a team with a legit big man and a big front court, Len's going to get big minutes, or Chandler, and Len's going to produce, not necessarily Chandler. He played 32 minutes here, 12 and 7 with a steal and 2 blocks. And I mentioned that on yesterday's podcast that I did like him for DFS for that reason, because they're going to have to run him big minutes. But in other games where they can go against smaller teams, they're going to run Lua at center. They're going to run Morris at center if he ever plays. And they're going to run Teletovic at center and allow PJ Tucker to play the four. So it's all about, especially for daily fantasy, is looking at the Suns' matchups and looking at who they're playing against. For seasonal leagues, the fluctuation in a guy like Alex Len is not going to be enough for standard leagues to have a go at him, especially with Chandler likely returning soon. Probably won't be for their next game on Monday, but one of the games coming up, Tyson's going to be back, so that's going to limit Alex Len's ceiling. But I've talked about Alex Len before. I think he's a really good fantasy player, but it's probably not going to be for another couple of seasons, unfortunately, with Tyson Chandler there. I did not like that move when it happened, but it happened, and who am I? I'm not a GM. And, yeah, I wouldn't make always the right decision, but that seemed like a strange one to me at the time. Brandon Knight went 17, 4, and 5 with a couple of threes. Eric Bledsoe, 23, 7, and 6. So, look, really solid lines from those guys, but it's not enough daily fantasy-wise to return value. They're giving you plenty for seasonal leagues, but yeah, they're just sort of in a mild funk is probably the best way of putting it. And they're just giving you these solid nights without really blowing up. And it is hurting the Suns. They lost this one brutally on a last-second alley-oop to Jeff Green. Can't lose like that. But they did. They're the Suns. I know Matt Smith's pretty pissed with the way things are happening in Phoenix, given he is a Phoenix fan. On to the Grizzlies. Mario Chalmers, decent night in only 21 minutes. 11, 4, and 2 with 3 steals. He has appeal, but only for deeper leagues. Marc Gasol, 22 and 8 with 2 blocks. And Zach Randolph is really struggling. 10 of 9 here with 3 assists on some very, very poor shooting from Zebo. Only a 5 of 16. He doesn't do it for you in enough categories. You're not dropping Zebo yet, but it's not far off, to be honest. For the season, he's averaging 14 and 8.5. Like, that's okay. Like, the 14's not positive, though. It's not a beneficial number for fantasy leagues. He's shooting 44% from the field. He doesn't get steals, he doesn't get blocks, he doesn't hit threes, he doesn't give assists. He's dropped way off. And if this trend continues, especially what we've seen lately, the last 2 weeks, he's been at 12 and 8 on 37% shooting. It's not good enough. He is someone who is definitely, definitely declining in a pretty big way. And it's going to be it could end quickly for Zach Randolph, I think, because things are slipping for him. His ability to get the ball to go in and to grab those rebounds is definitely not at that level where he was, and he doesn't have many peripheral skills to keep him fantasy relevant. So just watch, in a month's time, Zach Randolph may not be a must-own player. The last 2 weeks, he's ranked 231st. That's clearly not good enough. Let's just see what happens, though. But he's someone to keep in mind. He is not untouchable anymore. There's definitely going to be times where we go, you know what, he's got to go. Jeff Green went 10-5 in 26 minutes. Matt Barnes, not a good night. 5-6-3. Did have a steal and a block, though. Just the scoring wasn't there for him, but he still played the 26 minutes. Green played the 26 minutes. Tony Allen, he's just getting nothing done at the moment. 8 minutes for him. His minutes, he's losing out of that quartet of Barnes, Green, and Lee. He's the worst of those guys, getting the least amount of minutes. He has no point being in any sort of consideration for standard leagues. Mike Conley went 12 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, and a couple of threes. Not a bad night from Mike. The Warriors and the Nets. The Warriors made sure they got this one done after almost losing last time. Steph Curry, 28-5-2 with 5 triples. Draymond Green went 22-9-7. And Klay Thompson is close to back. 21-3-3. I think I say that every episode. 21-3-3 for Klay with 3 threes, a steal, and 2 blocks. He is definitely he's storming back to the Klay Thompson that we saw from last season. So if you had him and you hopefully didn't sell low, because he's starting to get back close to that second round sort of value. Andrew Bogut returned. He wasn't good. That pushed Festus Ezeli to the back and to the bench, and he was good. Ezeli played 20 minutes and went 12-5 with 4 blocks. At this point, Ezeli feels almost like the better player than Bogut. As hard as that is to really accept as an Australian, Bogut is slipping in terms of what he's offering statistics-wise. Now, they're probably holding him back, and come playoffs, we'll probably see more Bogut doing more stuff, but it looks like he is slipping, and Ezeli is definitely jumping up. I don't think either of them are must-own players in 12-team leagues, though, because the minutes just aren't there. Now, Harrison Barnes looks like he's going to be out for almost another week or so. So Brandon Rush is going to continue to start. He's going to continue to do nothing. So there's nothing for us to get excited about there. Leandro Barbosa had 15 minutes, 11 points, and 3 threes, and he's a deep league addition whilst Barnes is out. Andre Iguodala only scored 4 points but had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 steals. So a pretty good night from Iguodala. On to the Nets. Shane Larkin. I think you have to add him in 12-team leagues. It's hard to not own him now. 28 minutes for Larkin, 13 points, 6 assists, 4 steals. He played 28, and Jarrett Jack played 37. So you know what? They played together. And that's fine, because Jack can actually play off the ball, and he can play shooting guard a lot. You have to add Larkin for the assists, the steals, and the fact that he's getting minutes now, and he could start getting even more. So I think that he has to be owned in most 12-team leagues if you've got someone that's able to be dropped. Brook Lopez, 18-8 with a steal and a block, and Thad Young went 25-14 with not much more there. And a bit of a blast from the past, Markel Brown's back. Remember when he started the season and was the starter and then didn't play at all? Now he's back and got 26 minutes. Yeah, I don't get it. 7-4 with a 3 and a steal. Let's not get excited about Markel. He took the minutes that Rondae Hollis-Jefferson would have normally played. He was out with that ankle problem. The Nets started Bojan Bogdanovic, but only played him 20 minutes, preferring to give the minutes to Markel Brown. Joe Johnson's just piss-poor shooting season continued. 9 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. I thought that somehow he would bounce back a little bit, at least get things back to close to 40%. Just not happening at the moment. So if you're not in a punt situation, it's pretty hard to continue owning Joe Johnson. And I mentioned Jarrett Jack. He still played 37 minutes. He went 11-4-5 on some pretty brutal shooting. But if you own Jarrett Jack, it's good to see that he still got the big minutes, even though Shane Larkin played 28 of them as well. The Dallas Mavericks and the Washington Wizards. Big win for the Mavericks on the road here. Dirk went 19-6-4. Ray Felton played 38 minutes in this one with JJ Barea out, Chandler Parsons out, Dwight Powell out, and then Devin Harris suffering a rib injury that kept him out of the rest of the game. They had to give big minutes to Felton. 38 minutes, 11-10-6, 3-2 steals. Now, if Barea is out again, if Harris is out again, Felton is someone you might want to look at for streaming for the start of the week, but his production hasn't been enough to look at really in most sort of formats. Darren Williams, 11-7-9 on some pretty bad 2 of 12 shooting. And Zaza Pachulia had probably one of his quietest games in a while, 10-7 with a steal. With all those wing players being out or going down, John Jenkins got himself 20 minutes and scored 5 points. But unfortunately, Mark Roberts' boyfriend is probably not worth looking at in most sort of formats. And we had big Charlie Villanueva, 10-4 in 14 minutes. Onto the Wizards, John Wall had to be carried off the court by his teammates suffering a knee injury. Turns out it's just a knee bruise. It might keep him out for a couple of games. We don't know yet, but it is nothing structurally wrong with the knee. So we are all breathe a heavy sigh of relief that he escaped any serious injury, because he was really good and he has been really good the last week or so. 28-4-10 for Wall with 5 steals. Super efficient. Only 2 turnovers. Big, big night for John Wall. he's going to miss a couple of games. He might miss a couple of games. And if he does, you think that Ramon Sessions is the guy that's probably going to absorb most of the minutes. Now, Gary Neal's playing a lot anyway, but Sessions will be the guy that most likely runs the point, I would think. That's what they did last year. But Neal will handle the ball a lot, and Brad Beal will handle it a lot as well. Now, Otto Porter's had a nice couple of games here too, 15 and 11 with a 3 and a steal, so that's pretty handy from him. Gary Neal chimed in with 18 off the bench, and Brad Beal went 21 and 5 with 3 assists and 4 three-pointers. So another good scoring night from Brad Beal, another poor efficiency night from him, which seems to be the case most times. Jared Dudley played 34 minutes, 6-3 and 3 with a 3 and a steal. He's getting minutes, he just can't do anything with them. So he's got no place in a 12-team league. Even in a game like this where Gortat was out, Nene was out, Drew Gooden was out, he can't produce anything as a big. And Ryan Hollins played just 4-5 minutes at the starting center, allowing DeJuan Blair to play 12 minutes as the other center. Neither of those guys has any sort of fantasy relevance at all. Kelly Oubre also can't get on the court here. He played just 1 minute, and he obviously has no fantasy value either. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Detroit Pistons. Okay, so I was going to talk about the Lakers earlier. They got smashed again. They are just terrible. A terrible, terrible team. Now, I can understand that you're bad, you want to keep your draft pick, but Byron Scott needs to go. I'm sorry. Not only is he a bad coach, and that's helping them keep their pick, but he's an asshole. He has no idea what the current NBA environment is like. He has completely outdated thoughts on basically everything, including his choice of headwear when you see him wearing a hat. He said that he was just going to not play Nick Young for the next 3 games. No, I'm not playing him. No, it's coach's decision. Cool. Good on you, Byron. Tough guy. And then he plays him 7 minutes. Either be a hard ass and be a hard ass and stick to your word, or don't be some, I don't want to be too abusive. Make up your mind. What are you doing? I'm not playing him the next 3 games. Good on you, mate. You're a real tough guy. Now you play him 7 minutes. Real good. Real tough. Makes no sense. Don't play D'Angelo Russell 22 minutes. Why? So you can give Lou Williams 32? A good Lou Williams provided 21 points. You know what else he provided? 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks. That's really helpful for a young team. Now, I don't mind Lou Williams, but he shouldn't be getting more minutes than Russell and than Clarkson. Don't say you're going to do one thing and then do the other with Nick Young. Don't let Kobe Bryant do whatever he wants and shoot 2 of 15. And Kobe was sick. He only lasted 26 minutes here before he had to go use the bathroom facilities in Detroit. He looks like he'll be back for Monday, but be a coach. Don't be Kobe's mate. Say, Kobe, come on, man. Look, you know how you said that your body's giving up? It's given up. You can't shoot these shots anymore. Help these guys out. Facilitate. Be Kobe the facilitator, not Kobe the embarrassment. It's just, I'll never understand Byron Scott. And if he's fired tomorrow, it's too late. He just makes no, things he does makes no sense, and it's infuriating to everybody. I want to know one Lakers fan that is happy with Byron Scott, and without using the excuse, he's helping us lose to keep our draft pick. Because I don't think he's doing it intentionally. I think he's legit doesn't know what he's doing. I could be wrong. Julius Randle, 24 minutes, 15 and 11, not many other stats. And this is he's basically young Zebo. That's who he's going to be. Points and rebounds and, you know, average percentages. That's who he's going to be. It's going to really limit his fantasy potential throughout his career. Roy Hibbert, 8 and 5 in just 25 minutes. I don't really need to talk about all these guys getting minutes off the bench. Huertas with 12, Bass with 11, Sacre with 12, Cali with 12, Meta World Peace with 14, Larry Nance with 13. I'm done. I'm finished talking about Byron Scott. On to the Pistons. They rightfully smashed them. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope bounced back after a really bad game. 22-4-2 with 4 steals and a 3. And that's what I plan the Lakers will do for you. And Reggie Jackson played just 25 minutes. 23-6 with 3 steals and 2 threes. This team is a joke. Andre Drummond, 18-15 in 24 minutes. And Anthony Tolliver with a big game. 9-13 with a couple of threes. Now, his minutes have been slightly limited lately. He got the extra run here because Ersan Ilyasova racked up 4 fouls in just 13 minutes for 7 points. So not a good night there. And Stanley Johnson got himself 27 off the bench and went 6-6-2. The one guy to really miss out on the Pistons was Marcus Morris, and he went 9-3-3 because his shot wasn't falling. He was just 9 of 13 and 1 of 3 from the free throw line. But otherwise, I thought it was an odd one here, is that the Pistons announced that they were sending Spencer Dinwiddie and Darren Hilliard. They were assigning them to the D-League. Next minute, they're playing. That threw me off completely, unless the assignation only occurs on Monday. But the news came out Sunday morning that they're going to be assigned to the D-League, and then they played that night. So I don't really understand what was happening there. The last game of the night is the Sacramento Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Kings played the Thunder really close here, almost got themselves the victory. Rudy Gay was big, 27-3 with 3 steals and 2 threes, and Darren Collison played 33 minutes off the bench, 16-2-5 with 2 threes and 2 steals. I think that Collison has to be owned in 12-team leagues. He's putting up value even as a reserve. Rajon Rondo, 7-9-10 with 3 steals. That's a pretty stock-standard Rajon Rondo line. Kostas Koufos only played 15 minutes but still was valuable, 10-3 with 3 blocks. You love that. And Ben McLemore, after playing 40 minutes in the last game, George Karl went, nah, 40 minutes? I don't trust him. I didn't play in 40 minutes. What are you talking about? 20 today. You can get 20 and you can score 2 points. Yes, he wasn't good, but has there been a game where Kyle has started the same starting lineup 3 games in a row? I'd be shocked if that was the case. DeMarcus Cousins just cannot shoot at the moment. He is struggling. 13-10 for him, 3 steals and a block, so the counting stats are all right, but 5 of 20 from the field, 3 of 9 from the free throw line, only 1 turnover, so I suppose that's something good you can say about Boogie. Not a good night for him. He's in a real funk at the moment. I imagine that he'll bounce back out of that and put up some pretty huge games coming up soon. Onto the Thunder, Russell Westbrook had his third triple-double of the season, 19-11-10 with a 3 and 3 steals. KD went 20-10-4, and Serge Ibaka went 12-7 with 3 blocks in just 19 minutes. Now, he was plagued by fouls. He had 5 fouls in that time, but that was still a really useful performance. Enes Kanter continues just to be a real pain in the ass to me. He played just 20 minutes, but still had 14-10. So you look at it again, that's a double-double. And you know that if he gets 30 minutes, that he's going to be 20-12. You pretty much know that he's going to be that if he played 30 minutes. He's just not going to get 30 minutes. So the issue is real with Kanter as to what to do. In a lot of situations, you can drop him unless you just really need rebounds. That's where his value and good percentage is in a roto league. Or a head-to-head league if you need that bump. Steven Adams played 29 minutes, 6-12 with a steal and a block. He's still probably not consistent enough to be a 12-team league guy. Andre Robertson is mastering the act of playing big minutes and doing nothing. 3-5 in 30 minutes, did have a steal and a block and shot 1 of 7, while Deion Waiters tried to outdo that and went 2 of 12 for just 10 points in 27 minutes. He still has that 12-team league value to me, Waiters, in certain situations. All right, that is it for the recap of Sunday. It's time to take a little break, and we'll be back to talk DFS for Monday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street. And I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance, you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end. And I can't pretend I'm ready to be your friend. So don't go, don't you know my face? I'm the one that made your heart race so, so long ago. Alright, we are back now to talk daily fantasy for Monday. There are 9 games on Monday, so there's quite a bit of action for us to look at and to try and work out where we're going to be able to make some money. Let's see how we go. There's a few opportunities for us here, I think, to really hone in and get some nice lineups happening. Let's hope that's the case anyway. The first game is the Detroit Pistons and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are favored by 3.5. The total is 195. In this game, Cody Zeller was massive in the last game, put up 33.6. The game before that, he was pretty poor. So what do we expect from Cody Zeller? It's hard to know, but he's priced at only 3,800. So in tournaments, it is hard to overlook that. We don't know what we're going to get. We're going to get Cody Zeller game. We're going to get Frank Kaminsky game. We're going to get a Spencer Hawes game. Jesus, that, I hope not, but it's possible. And that's why you can't really rely on Zeller in a cash game. But if he goes out and puts up 20 fantasy points, you're okay in a cash game. If he goes and puts up 30 in a tournament, you're loving it. Stanley Johnson at 3,500, minimum salary. He's worth a look as well. He's been fairly good of late. Not blowing anyone's mind, but pretty solid. Marvin Williams is priced at 5,000. I think that he can be used, although this is not a great matchup for him. The other Hornets guys, no one really stands out to me that much. I don't love Kemba Walker here. Pistons do shut down opposition point guards, so I don't think he's in a good spot. I don't really love Nick Batum here. He's averaging 30. I love Nick Batum, but I don't know if this is a great spot. The Pistons do shut down the opposition small forwards as well. 36 for him over his last five, which is fine at 3,700, but I just feel there might be not a good situation for him with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope playing on him. The Pistons side of things, I think Andre Drummond at 9,600 is a pretty rock-solid guy. He's averaging 44, and without Al Jefferson in there, he's not going to have many big bodies to bang up against, not like Cody Zeller's a big, huge man. Well, he's huge compared to us, but he's not as beastly as what Andre Drummond is. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 4,800, he'd been really bad until the last game, so do anticipate him turning it on against a Hornets team that's got a relatively good defense against wings. I'm not all that keen on it, but I do like Reggie Jackson at 7,900. He's been putting up some pretty nice numbers of late, averaging almost 43 points across the last last 3 games. Not much else to really touch on, I think, in this game. The next one up is the San Antonio Spurs and the Philadelphia 76ers. Anything could happen here from the Spurs. This was the game a couple of years ago when Austin Rivers got, I think, a monstrous line of the night by playing against the Sixers. We could see mass rests. We could see guys playing 18 minutes for the Spurs. If you're playing daily fantasy, you don't really want to put guys in. Tim Duncan, LaMarcus Aldridge, you wouldn't want to put them in anyway. But even Kawhi Leonard is definitely at risk of playing, say, 22 minutes in this game. It's real tough. Injury-wise, Jahlil Okafor, he's back from his suspension, but he's dealing with a respiratory illness, so we don't know if he is going to play. Isaiah Cannon is also questionable with an ankle problem. We're going to have game 2 of Tony Roten in this game, so he's going to play 15 minutes, so he's not worth it for DFS purposes. Danny Green, he's been terrible. We know he's been terrible. He's $3,700, though. If you're making multiple tournament lineups, I reckon you have to sort of chuck him in because maybe this is the game. This is the Sixers. Maybe it's the game where he goes off. Maybe. If you're feeling a little bit frisky, maybe Boris Diaw at 3,600 in a tournament. He's actually averaging 16 points across the last 3, which is not bad. And then he might see extra run here, so we could look at him. Kawhi, no. It's great, but the minutes are a real concern. LaMarcus Aldridge hasn't been good, so I'm not sure about him. And there's just a risk of these guys not playing or playing very little. On the Sixers side of things, this is a massively tough assignment for them. Now, it could change if a lot of players are out, but I don't think I want to put value or put stock in Nerlens Noel, in Jahlil Okafor, in Isaiah Cannon, even Bob Covington at 6,900. He's probably the safest play there, but say Kawhi plays on him for 25 minutes. He could shut him right out. This just screams a lot of stay away. One guy maybe at 5,100 is Jeremy Grant. He is someone I might want to look at, but again, it's the Spurs. This is a team that just squeezes the life out of opposition teams. I would advise not really going near that game much at all. The Lakers and the Raptors are up next. The Raptors are favored by 13. The total is 200.5. Kobe Bryant dealing with that stomach issue. He said that he's going to play, so we have to take his word on it. Bismack Biyombo looks appealing at 3,700, but Bebe Nogueira basically took all his minutes in the last game. I definitely don't want a cash game Biyombo. I can look at him in a tournament, and I could do the same with Nogueira at 3,700. He put up 24 in the last game. He's actually averaging 16 points across his last 3. He's someone that we can take a punt on. Corey Joseph, I think, is primed for a really good spot here. 4,400, he's cheap, he's playing 30 minutes a game. it's the Lakers, Kyle Lowry might actually get to rest a little bit. We might see 33 minutes out of Corey Joseph, and he can put up some pretty decent numbers. I like him there. Luis Scola is more of a tournament option at 4,200. His minutes have not been there lately. They've been playing more Damari Carroll at the four and getting Corey Joseph more into the lineup, so I don't think that we want too much to do with Scola. I like D'Angelo Russell at 5,300. I think that's a good price for him. Kyle Lowry at 9,300 looks appealing on the surface against the Lakers. He's been absolutely on fire, but there is a blowout factor in play here, and 9,300 is a pretty expensive price. I think I would fade Lowry here, but I do like DeMar DeRozan down at 7,500. He could get hot here, and if you're looking for that sort of more expensive shooting guard, DeRozan could be one of those guys that we pay attention to. I mentioned Lou Williams at the start of the show and on yesterday's show. The minutes are definitely there for him at the moment. He's averaging almost 26 at 4,700. You almost have to look at using him if Byron Scott's going to do what he's been doing. But it's Byron Scott, so who knows what's going to happen. Nick Young wasn't playing, remember, and he played 7 minutes. Well, 7 minutes is a lot more than zero, so we don't know what is going to happen with Lou Williams. Again, whatever you think is the common sense thing to do, Byron Scott will do the opposite. So I would say it's not common sense to play Lou Williams 32 minutes, so he probably will. That said, I don't rely upon it enough in a cash game format to use him, maybe a tournament. And Damari Carroll's really struggling here, 5,600. This is a nice matchup for him to get going again, but I'm not relying upon it in a cash game format. Julius Randle at 6,200. Yeah, not bad. I think that he's worth an investment from the Lakers side of things. The next game is the Wizards and the Heat. We have no line available from this one because we don't know the status of a lot of the Wizards guys. John Wall, Marcin Gortat, who doesn't look like he's going to play. Nene, Chris Humphries, all these guys who have been out the last few games. So there's a lot for us to look at. There's also for Miami, there's also Luol Deng, who's out with that hamstring issue, missed the last five or six games. Justice Winslow at 3,600. It seems appealing, but it's not. He's been putting up 10 points only in his last three games. Gerald Green at 3,700. He's been probably a bit disappointing of late, but if Luol Deng doesn't play, he is someone that is worth looking at, especially in a relatively tasty matchup against the Wizards. Jared Dudley at 3,500. Oh, he sucked. Like, he sucked pretty hard. Can he turn it around? Not keen. And I'm not really keen on Chris Humphries at 3,500 as well. I think that if John Wall misses, we look at Ramon Sessions at 3,900. He'd be a guy that we definitely want to play. We'd throw Gary Neal in there at 3,600. He would have pretty good value. And Brad Beal, even though he's 7,500, without John Wall, he's going to do a lot more. So at 7,500, if John Wall is out, I do like Beal here to become a really good shooting guard play, but it is quite dependent. Goran Dragic has been playing a little bit better lately, 25 points over his last three. At 5,700, he's worth having a gander at. That's probably about as far as it gets with him, though. And Otto Porter's had a couple of strong games in a row at 5,100. You might want to take a punt on him. Don't think I want much to do with Hassan Whiteside, though, in this one. The next game, there is no spread for this one either. It is the Dallas Mavericks and the New York Knicks. There's a couple of injuries we need to be cautious of for Dallas. JJ Barea and his ankle. Devin Harris and his ribs. Dwight Powell and his knee. Barea and Powell both missed the last game. Harris got injured during it. So all those guys, if they're not playing, it opens up more minutes for Ray Felton. And he becomes someone that we have to go, okay, maybe we look at Ray Felton. He's at 3,900. He's averaged 24.3 across the last three games. If those guys are out and he's playing 30 minutes, you definitely have to look at him. Robin Lopez looks, at 3,900, that's real cheap. But he's just been real bad. I don't think I want to use him. 8,300 for Mello. He definitely hasn't been the same old Mello. I think that's fair to say. But he still has the ability to put up some decent numbers. It's not the best value play on the board, but I think as a high-priced small forward, he is one of the ones to look at. Kristaps
Porzingis,
his value has dropped down to 7,100. He had a quiet game, but that was foul trouble induced. I'm happy rolling him back out there, and hopefully we get another decent performance from Porzingis. Wes Matthews at 4,800. You can't chase that sort of performance. 54 points he put up. You can't chase it. He could be good again, but I don't. Look, 4,800 is great value. And maybe, well, you know what? 4,800 is great value. Forget what I said about chasing. I reckon you can get him out there at 4,800 because even if he puts up 25 points, you've returned value. So I think that we can look at using Wes Matthews there. Chandler Parsons will likely come off the bench after being rested. I don't think we want to really risk that. And I don't mind Dirk at 7,000. He's averaging 38.5 across the last three, almost 35 across his last five. That's pretty consistent for me, so I'll be happy using Dirk Nowitzki. Same as Darren Williams at 6,900, putting up some pretty nice numbers. Not a good night for him today in terms of his shooting, but I think that he can be someone who we can have a look at using as well. The next game is the Portland Trail Blazers and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Blazers are favored by one. The total is 198 in this one. And speaking of injuries, Jesus, there's a lot to talk about here. Milwaukee, we don't know. And it's Jason Kidd, so even if they do play, who knows what's going to happen. General Grievous Vasquez, Tyler Ennis, and Jared Bayless are all questionable. They all missed the last game, so of course OJ Mayo was your starting point guard. But even if they're back, Mayo at 4,100 seems like a relative no-brainer. He's been starting, he's playing, he's averaged 34 minutes a game over the last five to give you 22 fantasy points. I think you have to look at using him at 4,100. If Bayless plays at 4,600, I don't mind using him as well. It depends if he goes, of course. Greg Monroe at 7,700. There's always a risk with using Greg Monroe, but this is a very, 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 very good matchup for centers. So I think that Monroe is someone that we definitely want to take a peek at. And Al-Farouq Aminu has been playing a little bit better of late at 5,400. I'm not sure I really want to get him out there, but he has been improving, and this is a decent matchup for small forwards. Michael Carter-Williams is playing well, 5,500 for him off the bench. His value is going to be a little bit dependent on if Bayless plays. That will cut Carter-Williams down a little bit, same as if General Grievous Vasquez plays. Another guy who's been rock solid is Ed Davis, 4,900, averaging 27.6 across the last three. You can expect him to get those mid-20 minutes, and he's been putting up pretty consistent numbers. At 4,900, I reckon you can use him. 7,000 for CJ McCollum, I don't think I really want to spend up there. And Damian Lillard at 9,300. You want him to average more than the 40.9 that he's been doing. This is not a good matchup for opposition point guards. I think that we should leave Damian Lillard alone. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Minnesota Timberwolves are up next. We do not know the status of JJ Redick from the Clippers. As for Chris Paul, he is likely not playing in this game. Now, there's a couple of guys to pay attention to on the Timberwolves. Gorgui Dieng's been really good at 4,600, and Karl-Anthony Towns at 6,900 had a massive last game. Both of those guys, I think, provide pretty good value to have a look at. Let's just hope Sam Mitchell plays them together. In yesterday's morning update article on Basketball Monster, I went through and had a look at the stats of how often these guys had played together. I think they'd played 24 minutes combined for the season, which is just not good enough. They played 8 minutes together in the last game, which is getting better, but they need to play more. Austin Rivers is a tournament play at 3,500 if Chris Paul is out, and we definitely look to Jamal Crawford at 46 if JJ Redick happens to be out. He put up almost 40 in the last game without Redick, so you'd want to get him involved at 4,600 if there is no JJ playing this one. Without Chris Paul, Blake Griffin at 9,300 is always a pretty solid bet, and Ricky Rubio at 7,000 put up a pretty nice game in the last one, but 7,000 probably feels like if he has a really good game, he gets to that value. He's not going to smash it, I don't think. Zach LaVine at 5,700, that's too expensive for my liking. And there's not much else that really appeals to me here, unless you think that Wes Johnson's going to drop a 37 FanDuel point performance again. I don't. Phoenix and Chicago, the next game. The Bulls are favored by 6. The total is 203. Tyson Chandler, still doubtful with that hamstring issue. Now, let's see if this plays out again. But the Alex Len theory of if they're playing a team with a lot of bigs and a lot of good bigs, then Len's going to play big minutes. Well, we're playing against the Bulls, and if there's a team you could say has got a lot of good bigs, it's the Bulls. So I reckon we can see Alex Len get close to 30 minutes. He's been putting up some pretty nice numbers. He's 3,900. I reckon he's a very, very nice play. It's a risk because he could play 15 minutes, but I think that what we've seen so far makes this look like an Alex Len 28-minute game. We'll see. John Lua at 4,000. We need to sort of hear word of what they're doing with Morris, but he's averaging almost 30 in the last three. I reckon you can roll him out there in a stack of lineups. And Dougie McDermott at 3,500. I reckon he's in a pretty good place here. The Suns allow small forwards to have pretty decent nights. He's been getting some good minutes, averaging 31 minutes across the last three. I think Doug McDermott could be, if he gives you 22 points, you're happy with that. And I think that he's in a spot to do that here. I also like Jimmy Butler's value as a shooting guard. 8,300 seems expensive, but the Suns do allow some teams to put up some nice numbers. He could be a 40-point performer here. And Nikola Mirotic is more of a tournament play, but at 5,500, I reckon that's pretty cheap. He's had a couple of stinkers, but we know that he can get hot and put up some big numbers. If you've got some pretty big balls, you can go out with Markieff Morris at 5,100, but I don't think my balls are big enough to really take that risk. Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight, yes, they're good, but that's just too expensive. I don't think I want to get them out there. Now, Bledsoe is maybe a bit intriguing against the Bulls team that does allow shooting guards to just rack up points, but he's almost 9,000. I don't think that I'm going to be running him out there. Pau Gasol's been pretty awesome lately as well. 8,200 for Gasol, averaging 48, and if he gives you 48, you're going to be pretty happy, but I don't really think that he's going to be able to just pop another 48 on the board in this one. The last game of the night is the Boston Celtics and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans are favored by one with a total of 214. David Lee did not practice with a sore heel. He's also been whinging about not getting enough minutes. Newsflash, David, you're just not that good anymore. So, yeah, you're not getting mid-20s minutes, hopefully. I like Jared Sullinger at 5,800. The Pelicans are allowing power forwards to put up some pretty big numbers, and if he stays in the game, he's going to get some big numbers. I like Isaiah Thomas at 78, and I also like Anthony Davis at 11,200. Who doesn't like Anthony Davis? Now, Elvin Gentry, speaking of wisdom from coaches, so you know, let's, first game back, let's move Eric Gordon to the bench, and then let's put him back in the starting lineup, and then let's have Drew Holiday come back and play him off the bench. And now he comes out, oh, I think we're going to give them 7 to 10 games with an Eric Gordon, Tyreek Evans starting in backcourt. Then why stuff him around for the first three? Work it out. Just work it out. So we're going to have Eric Gordon, Tyreek Evans starting in the backcourt. We're going to have Alonzo G starting at small forward. For what reason? Yes, he's a good defender, but seriously. And then Drew Holiday coming off the bench. Now, that worked pretty well for Holiday in the last game. He put up over 30 points, but I'm not looking at him for $5,000. I am interested in Tyreek Evans at 7,500. He's put up 35 in each of the three games since he's been back from injury. I'm interested in him. I'm probably not using him in many spots, but there's enough interest there where I'm not completely writing him off. Now, Jay Crowder at 5,200. Is mildly interesting, but not spectacularly. And Ryan Anderson has dropped off a little bit too. He's down to just 27 points in his last three. At 6,400, it's not far off, but it's still not right in that zone where we want it to be at this point. All right, that is the games done. I am going to bring up the daily fantasy plays for the day now, and you can see them on the screen. The point guards, Corey Joseph, 4,400. D'Angelo Russell, 5,300. And Isaiah Thomas, 7,800. And if you don't know how I do this part, what I do is look at each position and give you a cheap option. So someone sub 5,000, a mid-range guy, 5 to 7.5, and then an expensive option at 7,500 and above. So we've got Corey Joseph as the cheap option, D'Angelo Russell, mid-range, Isaiah Thomas, expensive. Shooting guards, we go with OJ Mayo at 4,100, DeMar DeRozan at 75, and Jimmy Butler at 8,300. The small forwards, we go Dougie McDermott at 35, Nikola Mirotic at 55 and Carmelo Anthony at 8,300. Power forwards John Lewis at 4,000. Jared Sullinger at 58 and Anthony Davis 11,200. While the centers, we have Alex Len at 3,900. Carl Anthony Towns at 6,900 and Greg Munro at 7,700. That is it for today's podcast, guys. Thank you so much for listening. It's been awesome. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. You subscribe on YouTube. You leave a review on iTunes. You check out basketballmonster.com and hardwoodparoxysm.com, of course. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.